Welcome to the Mac Minutes, episode 178, iPhones preparing to move to USB-C, and WWDC 2022 makes final preparations to begin Monday, June 6th. This is the Mac Minutes podcast with John Scudder, where you will hear about the world of Apple and how technology can enable you to work smarter, personally and professionally. We will give you the news in mere minutes, not hours. That's why this is the Mac Minutes podcast. In this episode, Apple is reportedly testing future iPhone models as early as iPhone 15 that replaced the current Lightning charging port with the more prevalent USB-C connector. According to a leading supply analyst, Ming-Chi Kuo, a move that could help the company conform with looming European regulations. We'll discuss this news and go more in depth into explaining the USB-C connector. In addition, we will tell you what you need to know about WWDC 2022 coming up in a few weeks. Let's now go to the show, starting with the iPhone and telling you more about the USB-C connector. Apple is indeed planning a switch to USB-C from Lightning for the iPhone. Testing future models with the connector as well as an adapter for old accessories. This move would better unify Apple device charging and meet incoming European mandates. Such USB-C adapters would presumably work with existing Lightning-based iPhones, which could mean that Apple is aiming to get ahead of expected European Union requirements. The EU is currently planning legislation, meaning all smartphones sold in Europe would have to use USB-C chargers. With new iPhones using the standard, the older ones able to get an adapter, all of Apple's portable devices would be able to use USB-C. Let's continue by explaining the USB-C charging system and tell you the differences between the cables and why not all USB-C ports and cables are equal. Why one USB-C cable is not likely like the other, and what you should know. We saw more USB-C charging devices and accessories enter the market in the past several years, and we've got a problem. It's gotten so bad that I now keep track which cable belongs to which device and label the port's capabilities, which is the first tip for this podcast. Nearly 3 years ago, USB-C was billed as the solution for all future cable needs, unifying power and data delivery with display and audio connectivity. Ushering in several years ago was the idyllic age of one-size-fits-all cable. Despite the USB-C connector supplied as default in modern smartphones, the standard has, unfortunately, failed to live up to its promises. It's now become time, especially here in the past year, where to keep track which cable belongs to which device if you want the device to work or work optimally. Even the seemingly most basic function of USB-C, powering devices, continues to be a mess of compatibility issues, conflicting proprietary standards, and a general lack of consumer information to guide purchasing decisions. The data speeds available over USB-C have also become increasingly convoluted. The problem is that the features supported by different USB-C devices aren't always clear, yet the defining principle of the USB-C standard makes consumers think everything should just work. There are now four generations of USB-C cables, and lately, you can't tell which one is which. This is the most common frustration with the USB-C standard in its current form. Moving phones between different chargers, even of the same current and voltage ratings, often won't produce the same charging speeds. Furthermore, picking a third-party USB-C cable to replace the manufacturer-provided cable can result in losing fast charging capabilities, even if it works at all. What makes this worse is if you use your old cords and charger on your new device, which is precisely what is happening with most people who aren't technology focused, as most phones don't come with a charger. This includes Apple and Samsung, two of the largest phone manufacturers. If you read information, both manufacturers are forthcoming on what charger you need to get optimal performance, but how many of our friends and family actually do that? I wish there was better news, and hopefully now with the European Union, there is a glimmer of hope coming. As we thought charging was bad enough, data transfer gets overly complicated. USB-C supports 2, 3, 3.2, and Thunderbolt, each having different speeds for various device ports, which is confusing enough. Now making it even more complicated, cables also have to be specifically rated to meet higher speed requirements. There are huge disparities. For example, a USB 2 has a data transfer of 480 megabytes per second compared to a USB 4 Thunderbolt 3, which has a transfer speed of 40 gigabytes per second. This is precisely why I say you need to have the proper cable labeled for the device port's capabilities. There's no way to tell if a USB-C cable supports high current charging or 4.0 data speeds just by looking at it. Trial and error is often the only way to figure out what a USB-C port supports unless you label the optimal or factory-provided cable for the device. Currently, there is a problem with USB-C on devices that you often do not know unless you know your device intimately. The problem with this is that certain functionality that a user might expect in a product isn't necessarily provided. Consumers may assume HDMI or Ethernet are supported over a USB-C port. Even more frustratingly, functionality might only be restricted to specific Type-C ports on the device. You might have three ports, but only one that offers the functions you want. You can certainly label the capabilities, which is the ideal scenario in the case of a device that has multiple users. This is one solution for the interim. Let's now look at what can be the promise for the futures if manufacturers can alter the course. USB power delivery, commonly referred to as PD, has become an almost universal charging standard in both the smartphone and laptop markets. Even phones that rely on proprietary fast charging technology have mostly embraced the technology, meaning you can now charge most gadgets more quickly using USB-C to USB-C plugs and cables. Again, this requires owners to be knowledgeable of their USB-C charging implementations. Overall, the industry has been moving in the right direction. USB-C power delivery is gradually solving the fragmentation issue, although proprietary standards remain commonplace in the smartphone market. Major manufacturers appear to realize the problem and are taking steps to alter the course. USB 4 is a mixed attempt to unify the USB-C port, and it certainly can't solve the problem on its own. Better labeling could help consumers identify which cables and products support which features. So far, the naming schemes and logos have been rather unfriendly for casual glances. Here's another tip that may help you. The USB ports for USB-C 2 and USB-C 3 also differ visually. USB-C 2 has a black block inside the USB port. In contrast, USB 3 has a blue block inside the USB port. The more recent USB 3.1 also differs visually in that the block inside the USB 3.1 port is red. Mandatory cable and port coloring could help further distinguish the cable for the consumer. Even though I stated the color reference above, many bargain cables lack identification. An even more strictly enforced standard is needed to help average consumers get their heads around compatibility. Let's now move on to the second half of the podcast and talk about Apple's 2022 Worldwide Developers Conference, which kicks off Monday, June 6th, and will be largely virtual again this year. It'll start with an Apple keynote scheduled for 10 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time. WWDC provides information onto developers about the future of the operating systems, all of which we expect to see modifications. This will largely be an online format from June 6th through the 10th, free for all developers to attend. Building on the past 2 years of virtual events, WWDC 2022 will showcase the latest innovations in operating systems while giving developers access to Apple engineers and technologies to learn how to create groundbreaking apps and interactive experiences. In addition to the announcements shared from the keynote and State of the Union presentations, this year's program will also include more information sessions, more cutting-edge learning labs, more digital lounges to engage with attendees, and more localized content to make WWDC 2022 a truly global event. In addition to the online conference, Apple will host a special day for developers and students at Apple Park on June 6th to watch the keynote and State of the Union videos together, along with the online community. Space will be limited, with RSVPs reportedly gone out this week. If you are interested in keeping up with WWDC, I'd urge you to tune in next week and continue to follow us on the Facebook Mac Minutes podcast group, where I post articles from the top tech journalists. People can discuss topics, post articles, join special events, and other great tech happenings. We will post a special episode of the Mac Minutes podcast covering any announcements. If you have a question or idea for a podcast, please reach out to me at mail.macminutes@gmail.com or through the Mac Minutes webpage at macminutespodcast.com. Other places we post news and events are on social media, including Twitter and Facebook. So that's all we have for Mac Minutes. Thank you again for listening, and Mac Minutes is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, CastBox, Deezer, Overcast, Chartable, Google Podcasts, Podchaser, and many other of your favorite podcatchers. Take care of yourself, and we'll talk to you soon as we move into June on the Mac Minutes podcast. Be safe, be nice, and stay well. Thank you again for listening to the Mac Minutes podcast. I hope you have a great weekend ahead, and we'll talk to you next week.